Okay. All right, so just a very brief recap. Right, the Rava in the beginning of Ezu Neshech says, well, why do we need a whole separate Isser for Ribis, for Gezel, for Onah? All right, all of them, right, you could have dropped one of them because, after all, we know you're not allowed to steal. Once you know you're allowed to steal, why do we need all three? Then the Gemara challenges that. Well, that's not so obvious, right, because Gezel is, you know, you go and rob somebody. Onah, is where you overcharge, so the person agrees willingly to pay that amount. On the other hand, he doesn't know that he's paying extra or more than the market value. In the case of Ribis, he totally agrees with full knowledge of what's going on. On the other hand, it's not fully by his own volition because, right, he needs the loan. So those are mitigating factors. On the other hand, at the end of the day, either the person agreed or the person, right, you know, ultimately is aware of the situation, right? In Ribis, he's aware that he's going to pay extra. So the Gemara flips it and says, okay, well, we root Malahanach Shekin Shalomidas, Tomer Beribis Dimidaite, Hatzad Hashava Shaben Shekin Gozla. Right, so the common denominator, though, is that in both of these cases, you're taking something, you know, more from the other person that he didn't necessarily have to give, or more than what you're giving him back, right? So definitely, right, Afani Avi Gezel. So I can definitely learn out that actually stealing is usur from Onah and Ribis, right? Because if you're not allowed to overcharge and you're not allowed to take usury, Kal v'chomer, you're not allowed to steal from the person, right? So far, so good. The assumption of Rava, at least in his question, although it's not entirely clear that that's totally true in the conclusion, is that Ribis is really a form of Geza, right? It's a sort of illegal taking of somebody else's money, right? Possibly the logic being either that he doesn't really want to give it to you, right? Bal korche, right? It's against his will. The guy doesn't want to give you the extra money. He just has to because you have him over a barrel because he's stuck and he needs the money now. So you're taking more than you're giving, right? So that extra money you don't really have a right to. And he's not giving it to you as a matana. So you're taking money from somebody else that you haven't given him fair compensation for, right? And that's basically the idea that, like, monetarily, on a monetary level, you're taking something which you don't doesn't belong to you, right? Which you don't deserve. On the other hand, if you look at the psukim emphasize the idea of ribis in a very different context. It emphasizes in the context of your relationship between you and other Jews, right? Im kesef talveh atami, right? There's this mitzvah of lending to other Jews. Et ha'ani imach, right? The poor person, lo tia kenoshe. When you need to lend money, it says the Torah, you have to lend money to poor people. And when you do that, don't, al tia lo kenoshe, lo tisimun alav nashe. Don't put usury or interest on him. So lend him money, right? Because he's an ani. So help him out. And also make sure that it doesn't come, you know, with this big, it comes with a sting or these strings attached that's going to end up making the situation worse of interest. Okay. And then it continues that, and if you're going to take a collateral from him, you have to return it to him when he needs it, etc. Right. So the idea is like you lend money as a way to help out poor people. Right. When you're doing that, you also need to make sure that you're lending money to him as a way to help the poor people, and you don't end up flipping it and turning it into something that makes them further in debt. So if you charge interest, right, lo tia lo kenoshe, instead, lend him money, but make it interest free. Right. And the idea there is essentially, it's like a form of tzedakah. Right. He's your fellow Jew. You need to help him out because he's poor. Right. Et ha'ani. Imach, right? The poor person needs money. So lend him money and lend it to him interest free, right? Because otherwise you're kind of undermining the tzedakah that you're doing, right? Because this is a special tzedakah that you're supposed to do for your friend. It almost sounds like from these psukim that if the person you're lending money to was wealthy, you'd be allowed to charge interest, right? It's like when you're, right? Et im kesef tavet ami etani imach lo tia lo kenoshe. Right, when it's to an ani, you know, don't take ribis because he's poor, right? And when you take a collateral, make sure you know you have to give it back when he needs it because he's an ani and he needs it. So you gotta help him out, right? So that idea is very much on the spectrum of tzedakah, right? You give tzedakah to an ani, you know, when he has nothing to eat. But what you could also do is you can give him an interest-free loan. And that helps him get back on his feet, right? It's almost along the lines of, you know, you give a man a fish and leave for a day, right? You teach a man to fish. You help him set up a business. You lend him money so he could start a business, right? And he'll be able to take care of himself. So this is part of our structure of tzedakah. Okay. Also, right, same theme comes up in Vayikra. V'chi yamuch achicha umatay yado imach v'echzak tabo gerz v'toshav v'cha imach. Right, when your friend is downtrodden, when he's, you know, when he's financially collapsing, and you know you need to strengthen him, you need to help him, so that he can continue to live, you know, and remain a living physically and also as a member of society, right? So he can participate in society. Right, you can't take ribis from him, and you need to, you know, you fear God and ensure that your brother continues living, you know, as a respected member of society. Right, don't give your money to him with ribis. Again, it's the same idea that you have a responsibility. You have to make sure this person can continue living, right, with honor, with self-respect. And therefore, you have to give him this money interest-free, not because there's something wrong with taking interest on a monetary level, on a financial level, right? It's not like, oh, you're giving money that you're sorry, you're taking money that you have no financial right to because it's you're not giving them any compensation. These psukim kind of assume that it totally makes sense to take ribis, right? Interest is like a natural part of the financial system, right? Access to capital is worth money. However, right, because you're supposed to be doing charity, you're supposed to be helping this person out and taking care of them, therefore it would be improper to, you know, to add this sort of this thorn or this booby trap, right, in your aid package. Is that helpful, Tila, in terms of like this sharpening the idea?
In terms of the psukim, yes, but it's more like when you look at Ramban, the idea of the Hafer HaKamocha and the Achva and Chesed, so how that mixes with the idea of the Ani and whether that's a different category, subcategory.
Okay, you'll keep asking me as we go along, I know.
Sounds great.
It'll be clear. Okay, fine. So we basically have this Chakira between, you know, the Gisha we see in the Gemara on Samech Aleph. It's like really an Isser Gezel. It's an idea that monetarily you don't really have the right to it, as opposed to what the Mashmas of the Psukim is, that it's Achiv Tzedakah, right? You're supposed to be giving charity. You're supposed to be giving interest-free loans as an act of Chesed, and you're not doing it. Okay. The Ramban wants to be medayik from the fact that the Pasuk says, L'nachri tashich, u'lachicha lo tashich. You're supposed to take ribis from a guy, but not from your brother. So Ramban says, right? Why should that be true? Right? Ubiar bekan shiya ribit anachri mutar, aval haribit shehu naseh ledat shnehem buritzonam lo neesar. Oh, sorry. I should also read this part. Velo hizkir kein bigzela ubigneva ki gezel hagai asur. Right? It's usher to steal from a guy. The guy has financial rights, right? You know, just like a Jew. You can't steal from a guy. But ribis isn't stealing. Right? They both agree to it. So if they both agree to it, you can't say financially there's some sort of malpractice here because they both gave consent to the financial agreement. Rather, you can't take ribis from a Jew because God has commanded you to give it to tzedakah. Right? This idea that you have a responsibility to take care of him. And because of that, right, God tells you can't take ribis. You have to give him a loan interest free, right? So that it doesn't end up also, you know, coming around and biting him. And the Torah is acknowledging this is an act of charity. You're giving away something for free, right? That's beyond, above and beyond. You're not chayv to do that to a guy. You're allowed to do a normal financial interaction with a guy and take ribis. But when it comes to a Jew, you have this extra responsibility, right, to help him out. There's kind of this assumption that, right, loans are there because a person doesn't have the wherewithal himself, right? So let's say in like a business setting, right, with an ikanashir, I don't know how conceptually this should really apply.
Well, I'm wondering if Ramban leaves an opening because there is this idea of a techeshevel tzedakah, but that comes with all the other ideas of the hafer hakamocha and dvar b'lial that I think relates to peers at large.
Well, I mean, the idea, I think, is for the Ramban, this is an asei tov. It's not a sur meira. That's accurately describing what you're saying, right? This is like a good thing that you're obligated. It's not just like, you get a pat on the back, right? You're not allowed to not do this chesed, right? Sometimes we have, right, mandatory chesed hours, going back to our, you know, yeshiva and midrash days. You have mandatory chesed hours. They are mandatory, right? But the reason is because we want you to be doing chesed, not because otherwise you're stealing, right? And the Ramban is really going all in this idea that you don't take ribis because you're supposed to be taking care of your fellow Jew, of your brother, right? V'chai achicha. But it's an asei tov. It's not like, oh, this is something, you know, that's wrong and you're not allowed to do it because you're supposed to love your neighbor like yourself, right? It's v'havto yacha kamocha mitzad ha'achva v'hachesed. You're doing an act of charity. And this really is an act of charity, according to the Ramban. You're actually giving tzedakah, right? You're actually giving away your you know, your money. Why? Because as we all know, right, access to capital is worth money. There's a reason why you pay more back when you take out a mortgage, right? It's because the ability, the access to that money, the use of that money is worth something. So by giving an interest-free loan, you're actually giving away, right, the productivity of that money. Right? You're giving away the interest. It's not that you, when you collect interest, you're taking back your money and also taking up the interest. It's if you give an interest-free loan, you're giving away the interest, right? Because the use of that money is really worth money. Okay, question is, okay, according to that, says the Ramban, if you think like I think, that it's tzedakah, so that's why it's you're allowed to take from a guy, because only it's a special tzedakah you have to do to a Jew, right? Because of Achla, because you're brothers. But if it's an Isser Gezel, how come you could take ribbis from a guy? So there's a day in the Gemara that actually seems to say in a Hanami, that you actually can't take ribbis from a guy. The Chiddush is that you're allowed to borrow money and pay ribbis to a guy. Right? That's not true, definitely the Maskan of the Gemara, but there seems to be a day in the Gemara that actually says that, right? Which would be like a great in a Hanami. Yeah, if you think it's Gezel, then you can't take ribbis from a guy either. Alternatively, the Ramban actually says that it could be parallel to Hashavas Aveda. There's this idea, and this is an idea we're going to try to sharpen, that there's this kind of in-between area of things which are not theft, but they're not like a totally a random, or like a, not like a totally above and beyond act of chesed, right? This person has some sort of monetary connection to the object, but they don't have complete monetary rights. So for example, Hashavas Aveda. When you lose something, you don't have possession, but you do have title, right? Now, when you steal something, you're taking something from that other person's possession, right, that they have title to. If they already don't have title, don't have possession, so then essentially they don't really own it anymore, right? But on some level, it's still theirs, or it still has their name on it, right? It's a sort of in-between state where they've kind of lost partial, some level of ownership, but they haven't totally lost ownership. So for a Shavas Aveda, you're chayiv to return the Aveda of a Jew. You're not chayiv to return the Aveda of a God. You're like supposed to because it's a Kiddush Hashem. But in theory, like finders keepers when it comes to an Aveda of a guy, which is actually what, you know, in like general society, that's kind of what we believe, right? Finders keepers, losers weepers. It's like, it's kind of like the rule of the world. All right, there's an added Kiddush that you're supposed to do a Shavas Aveda. Right? You're only chayiv to do a Shavas Aveda for a Jew. Now, why is that? This idea that even though there's some sort of like monetary right, there's something in between Gezel and just saying that's tzedakah, where that person has like a monetary connection to it, but not an absolute monetary ownership. Let's say they have a monetary right to it on some level, right? So I'd say like in Aveda, you kind of still have legal title, so it gives you legal rights to it, but you don't actually have it. You don't possess it. So someone who's taking it isn't stealing from you because you don't have possession anymore. You lost it, right? Which undermines your ownership. But you still have title, so you still have a legal right to it. When you do Hashavas Aveda, you're not out of the blue giving them a gift, right? You're returning, you're restoring their ownership. Yeah,
hi. I'm not returning an Aveda. What's the status of that action? Is it like
Bitul Aseh
or is it
Gezel? So it should be. So it's a little tricky. In Ilu Metzias, it's a little bit tricky because it seems like for a Jew, once you're chayiv to return it, if you were to pick it up and not return it, then before Yish, meaning before they were like to give up hope, then you would be over on Lo Tegzol because you're chayiv to return it. But if you were to like walk around it and, you know, and not pick it up until after they gave up hope. Yeah, if you were to keep it.
That's Gezel. So it's, if it's not,
if that would be considered ghetto, then I would think that it wouldn't really be in that in-between space because, like, of like, is that person the actual owner? Like, the answer is yes, they are the actual owner.
Right. No? So that's the thing. I mean, it's not so posh. The Gemara is like, it's a chiddush that it counts as lo tigzol because since you're chayiv to return it,
mm-hmm.
and the person hasn't totally lost ownership yet, so it does trigger lo tigzol. But it's only really it seems because you're chayiv to return it. So, for example, if you were to steal from a guy, it would be gzela, right? Mm-hmm. But if you were to keep their aveda, then you lose out on an opportunity for kiddush Hashem, but you're not chayiv to.
That's interesting. Like, that's the opposite direction of causation that I would have imagined, right? Like, I would think if it's gazelle, then you have an obligation to return it. But you're saying that the obligation creates this.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like, to me, I wouldn't think that the, like, result of that would be gazelle. I would think that would just be its own thing.
So. Correct. And it doesn't have to. It didn't have to be. In the case of an aveda, it works out because at the end of the day, there are really two components of ownership. The Gemara talks about this idea of like zelafi she'enu shalov, zelafi she'enu b'shusa. For example, if you have if someone steals something, right? So on the one hand, they have possession. On the other hand, they don't have title. It's not theirs, right? So basically, neither the thief nor the original owner are able to do anything legally speaking with this object, right? Let's say make it hektish. The owner can't because zelafi she'enu b'shusa, it's not in his possession. And the thief can't because it's not his, right? So possession and ownership and title, let's say, are like the two parts of ownership.
So possession being actually having it and title being like deserving it kind of, or like being entitled to it.
Correct.
Okay.
Right? I like to think of it as sort of like it has your name on it. Like there's like a name tag on it, sort of.
Okay.
So in the case of an aveda, you still have your name tag on it, but you've lost possession. So you've, in a very meaningful sense, lost part of your ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, an extreme version of this is, let's say you're like, there's like a tsunami or something, mm-hmm. and it just blows away some of your possessions, or a tornado takes like, I don't know, some object of yours, and like brings it 1,000 miles away, right? So that's like the idea of avluda b'menu mikol adam. It's just like gone, right? It gets like, I don't know, buried in a well somewhere. And like 1,000 years later, some archaeologist is going to dig it up. So that already isn't yours, right? Because it's so far out of your possession, right? The idea of you having ownership loses meaning. So this idea that once you lose possession, you lose ownership. If it's extreme enough, then it just makes your ownership disappear. The question is, if it's lost, but it could theoretically find its way back to you, let's say, right? Because, you know, it's in your neighborhood, or it's, right, it's you lost it on the main street, but you could still possibly find it. And does that still say, well, since it was mine, right, and I have title to it, it's mine, right? What we seem to be saying by Hashav Zaveda is it's not entirely yours anymore, right? But there's a mitzvah saseh to return it. Because the person, the Gemara says, like, basically, because the person, they have a chiyuv to return it, right? If they don't, so your title is enough to, like, counter as lo tigzol, because they already have ownership over it. You still have, like, half of ownership over it. This idea of, like, half ownership, I think, in general, this is kind of like a theme that we see in Bava Metzia, is in terms of, for a goyim, we don't really say that they have half ownership. Either they own it or they don't have full ownership. We don't do this like half measure of like you still have like partial ownership. So let's say, and I think we're going to see that in a few different areas. Let's just bring that actually to Ribbis, right? Ribbis is a good example because on the one hand, right, the guy agreed to it. On the other hand, he's giving more than he got. So it's almost like you don't really have like, let's say, title to it, right? You have possession because he gave it to you willingly. On the other hand, you don't totally have like the right to it, maybe, because if you want to take like the gezel route, because you never paid for it, right? He's giving you something that you never gave him. So you don't really have, you never compensated him for it. So you don't really have rights to it. So it's sort of, you have legitimate possession, but you don't totally have the right to it. In that case, right, so let's say Hashav Saveda is an example of that, kind of in the opposite. Ribis or Ona, where you overcharge the person, where again, the person agreed to it, right? But it's not really worth it on the market. That's not really its market value. On the other hand, the person agreed to that price, right? So you could say, so it seems like we have this idea, or we could argue this idea, that it could be considered gezel, or it could be considered a financial misdemeanor or a financial imbalance that kind of is like lo tigzel, because financially, right, your financial rights are being violated, but it still wouldn't be an isser like between by Goyim, let's say for Goyim to do to each other, or for you to do with a guy, let's say ribis, because you're not stealing. Right? Stealing is only that absolute taking someone else's object, taking someone else's possession. Right? Here, where you don't have that absolute. So there's no isser because he agreed to it, right? Or because he lost it, so he doesn't really have vials anymore. It's only like between Jews where this kind of like idea of like this abstract right is sufficient to be considered like financially binding. Right? It's sort of like it's like when you're dealing with if you're doing like a handshake agreement between two people, right, the rules are a little bit different than when like lawyers start getting involved. Right? You kind of have these two parallel markets. You have like the market of like the school lunchroom, you know, and like corporate law, where, you know, every time like two companies are agreeing to share toothpicks, right, there needs to be like 100 lawyers involved. There's just like two different systems almost. And that's how the Ramban can say, that's how you could possibly explain how, even if it's gezel, it could still not apply to him. That's a little bit of a digression. The reason why I think why it's important to spend all that time on it is because this idea of that in-between state is going to be very important after Pesach when we do Ona. Ona also really hits this like kind of idea where you're overcharging. The person totally agrees to the price. On the other hand, it's more than the market value. Right, so you're overcharging him. You're taking more money than the value of what you're giving him is worth. On the other hand, he agreed. Right. So, do you want to? You know, is that financially something that's incorrect or no? Right, there's some sort of other isser involved, but it's not a financial, you know, misdemeanor. Okay, so Lemaisa, guys, gets back to our primary Chakira, right? One second. Yes, go back here, right? If it's Chiyuv Tzedakah, it's Pasha that it only applies to Jews, right? If it's an Isser Gezel, on the face value, it should also apply to Goyim. We found that there's even a day on the Gemara who says that. But we realize that even if it's Gezel, it doesn't have to be outright theft. Right, it could be part of this in-between category. It could be, like, I could say, a financial misdemeanor without being theft. Right, and if it's a violation of some sort of monetary right, it still doesn't need to be theft, right? Because it can be in that financial in-between state. Yeah, Tehila.
So let's say I want to build an apartment building. Right, I'm not a poor person, but I don't have enough money sitting in my bank account to build an apartment building, right? And I go to somebody and ask for a loan. What would the tzedakah side of the chart say to that? And then over and above that, do you think that, I think I was trying to say this before and maybe I didn't say it clearly enough. In the Ramban, given that there are other principles other than tzedakah involving being neighborly all and the hatzor ha-kamocha, do you think there's room for wider cases like that?
In the Ramban, one second, sorry, not how, like wider case of what?
Being about more than just the ani.
Oh, yeah. If it's about, it could be because you could expand it even according to the Ramban and say, look, it's not only about the ani, right? It's also this idea that, you know, you're going to get your money back, so you should help him out, right? I don't know. Let's say your fellow Jew wants to go and build a house or build an apartment building. So, you know, help him out. He'll pay you back. But, you know, you don't need to, you know, extract, like, you know, a huge profit margin on helping a brother out. You could definitely say that. Let's just, you know, I'll just see if I can find it. Here we go. How do we define ribis ktusa? That's ribis doraisa. Okay.
Do you consider that kind of lending as mekachon amkar?
Oh, so what does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Amar bepeiros, amar beschar laatzmo bepeiros, gemar refarish behalvos kesef opeiros nami hevi tarbis, sharei misrabe mamono, hacha ribis derabanan kimefarish." Why is this ribis derabanan? Because it's derech mekachu memkar, but ribis doraisa is derech halva mashma, right? It's basically like this: anytime there's a business deal, it's not ribis midoraisa. It's not ribis, says Rashi. When do you have ribis? Only when you're giving a loan. Why? Because again, you're giving a loan. So then the guy needs the money. So you're lending him the money, right? If it's any sort of business deal, like building an apartment building, I would say, right, would definitely be, if you're going to lend him the money, you're lending the money as a mekachon memkar, as a business deal, right?
What if I want money to go to med school?
I think also you can argue that that could be, that it could be an investment. That's, again, that's a little trickier, right? You can debate whether which side of the line that should fall under, right? When you're building an apartment building, you're actually being mashkia into something, right? When you're going to med school, right, it isn't an investment in yourself, but, you know, on the other hand, you could say like, no, right, that's like a halva. You don't have the money. You want to do something important, or you needed something important, let's say an education. It depends also how much you look at an education as something necessary or as something that's an investment. But Rashi basically says exactly what you're saying, which is, if it's really tzedakah, right, so then mekachu memkar is not going to have an issur ribis. On the other hand, like the Ritva, that it says, l'fisha ribis shel Torah hi ktsutza v'niras chisaron l'ayin. It's just a question of how it's structured. If it's a direct percentage, right? If it says I'm going to give you 100 and you're going to give me back 120. So as long as it's like a clear katsutz, it's a set percentage, that's ribis doraisa. And aval ribis derabana she'eno noshech b'tchilas aveno chisaron nikar elishu misrabe me'ilav, right? But if it's in some sort of like more abstract way, right, where there's no like set percentage of profit that I'm going to make of interest that I'm charging you, then it's not going to be ribis doraisa. So that's actually exactly what the Ritva, the Machlokas Rashi and the Ritva, could be exactly that. If Rashi thinks that it's midin tzedakah, so then it's not going to apply by mekachu memkar, even if financially it's the same thing, because at the end of the day, right, there's no mekachu memkar involved. There's no tzedakah involved when you want to build an apartment building. Well, for the Ritva, it'll say, look, if I give you X and you demand back X plus Y, right? More than X. So then you're charging me ribis. If I give you A and you give me back B, and B is usually more valuable than A, but not always, so that's only going to be ribis derabanan, because at the end of the day, it doesn't have to come out that way, right? It's possible that the prices would have fluctuated the other way. Right? So it's not ribis d'orais, it's only a ribis d'arabon. Okay, so let's just go back for a moment. Is that helpful? Okay, great. Here's the nafkamina for our question of how do we view ribis. Okay, what about a momar? So the tour says, Davar Torah, midoraisa, mutar l'halvos l'ovid kochavim b'ribis, the time of the ribis, diksiv v'chay achi chayimach, v'ovid kochavim lo ha'yu mitzuvim l'achayosa. As the Torah says, the reason for ribis is tzedakah, right? V'chay achicha imach. And you're not chayv to take care of an oved kochavim. And a mumar shekafar be'ikar mutar lahalvoso beribis kivan she'inanu mitzav machayoso. And a mumar, right? Kofar, you're not chayv to take care of him. And therefore, you don't have to get, you can let him with ribis, right? On the other hand, it says the Urayim, Lahavos la'avarian b'mezid b'ribes, shamat b'mirabos l'shati. I was going to go back for a second. The question is, what about a mumar, right? And our question between like a guy versus of whether or not ribes is gezel or tzedakah. So the tour brings us an afkamina. He says, right, the reason for ribes is because there's a chayachi chayimach. Ovid kochavim is not, you're not b'tzevel achiyo, so you don't need to give tzedakah to an ovid kochavim. Right, you have to take care of your fellow Jew. A mumar who's a kofer b'torah, right? Since we're not chayiv to take care of him, mimela, you don't have to. You can lend him with ribis, right? Because you don't have to give him tzedakah. Right. On the other hand, the Urayim says no. Right, you can't be malve the ribis from an avarian. Right? Why? Because lini ribis achvaksiv be near divrei rabbos I leiser ribis mishuma leteavon v'raisa ani mevi ledivreihem the ribis heavy kein gezel. He says why should this be any different than gezel? You're right that the guy's a mumar. You don't need to give him tzedakah, and we don't like him, right? But at the end of the day, the Gemara on Samech Aleph Amud Aleph and Noizu Neshech says right lama lemechtav lav begezel lav beribis hilka chishlomar kasher ribis ator lechol aviv sachicha the rabbi says a mishumad. Is here a Torah al mamor chavercha meshumad? Ribis nami kayotibo da mamor chavercha meshumadu. There's here a Torah shol lekachto. Right, at the end of the day, you're not allowed to steal his money. You just don't have to take care of him. But it's gezel, right? Now it's interesting. He points out he brings a riot from the fact that you have to return his aveda also. Right, at the end of the day, it's his mamon. It's his money. He has the monetary rights to it, and therefore you can't take money from him. So therefore, also you can't take ribis. Right, this is a perfect alignment with our Hakira. If it's a chiv tzedakah, says the tour, you're allowed to take ribis from a mumar because you don't need to give him tzedakah. If it's an iser gazel, right, you're still not allowed to steal from him even though he's a mumar. Okay. Right, just to go, you missed this nafkamina, but there's machlokas Rashi and the Ritva as to how do we define ribis midoraisa. Right, midoraisa, it's usher to take ribis ktsutsa. And avak ribis is only asher midrabanan. How do we define ribis ktsutsa? So Rashi says it depends whether or not it's derech mekach u'memkar, whether it's being done as a business deal, right? Or it's a derech halva, or if it's a loan. Right, so again, I think that it reflects very nicely. If you think it's a din tzedakah, right? So then if it's a business deal, if you're building an apartment building, then that's not tzedakah. Right, and it's a business deal. He wants to make money on his apartment building. You want to make money with your capital, right? On the other hand, says the Ritva, no, it's always any time you set an actual amount that you're gonna profit an actual interest rate, then it's gonna be ribis, right? So for the Ritva, it's about you gave him X, you want back, you're getting back X plus 10%, right, or 120% back. Well, for Rashi, it's about whether or not it's a business deal or a loan. Okay. What other nafkamina, right, that also help sharpen this whole idea? What is the status of the money after you take it? Right? So we can expect if it's tzedakah, so then afterwards, it's like, okay, the guy borrowed money from you. You took interest, which is totally reasonable. You shouldn't have done it, but too late. So it's your money. If it's gezel, right, we should expect to see that it should be treated as the original guy's money still, right? The lova's money still. So you have a machlokas. Amar Blazer, Ribis Ktsutsa Yosi B'dayanim. Or Blazer says, Bezdin can force you to give it back. Right? You took interest. Now Bezdin will force you to give it back. Avak Ribis in the Yosi B'dayanim. Ribis Darabana doesn't go back. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilo Ribis Ktsutsa Nami in the Yosi B'dayanim. So Blazer and Rabbi Yochanan argue. Blazer says, Bezdin will take the interest and give it back to the borrower, right, to the love. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Ribis Ktsutsa is going to still remain with the malve, right? At the end of the day, the malve has monetary rights to it. Okay, so that should also line up, although not 100%. Why? So the Ritva says like this. Avavadai afilu beribis gmura im kfar pir asula v'chazer v'kitcha bo mikudashas. Even with ribis gmura, if you used it for kiddushin, it would work. Why? The most ribis shipir am lovei lemalveh kaninuhu legamri. At the end of the day, they actually do belong to the malveh. Umamon gamur hula ela sheyish alav chova lahachziro ubezdin motziyem imen. What's the rule? It's not that you don't own the money, that you have no monetary rights to the money, right? It's rather that you have like a chiyuv to return it. Okay? So the malveh lends the money to the loveh. Loveh pays back the ribis. The malveh now owns the ribis, right? Because it's the interest of his loan, of the money that he gave him. However, the Torah is machayiv him to give it back, right? As something separate. Okay? We can see that's important. What's the nafkamina, says the Rajba? I don't think you Bezdin can actually take the money away from him because it really belongs to the Malveh. What can they do? He says, oh, we can actually force you to give it back, even though it's a mitzvah tzedakah, right? Because we can force people to be mekayim a mitzvah. Right? Oh, he brings a raya. The sons of the malveh don't have to return the ribis. If the father stole something, right, his kids, after he dies, would have to return it, right? Because it still belongs to the original owner. If he takes ribis, even though he can be forced, according to Blazar, to give it back, after he dies, his kids get to keep it, right? Okay, why? So the Chazanish says, really, the Chazanish doesn't like this Ritva at all for an interesting reason. He says that Ef Shalom Arkein Devada in Haribis Choshev Chov Derachmana Afkiren VeIn Halov Echayev Klum VeIn Chov Dav VeMekayis Pemil VeLachashvias Vada In Mekudashes. So the Chazanish says, no, since the Torah is Mechayev to give it back. Right? Or it says you're not allowed to take it, so you actually have no rights to it. Not because you monetarily don't have rights to it, but because once the Torah tells you you're not allowed to do something, right, that means that you have no right to it. And once you have no right to it, then you have to give back because it's just the other guy's money. Because the Torah says that, like, made the chiyuv go poof. Right. Interesting. Right? Because it's not so pasha that's true. Right? You could say, well, the Torah told you not to do it. You did it anyway. Monetarily, you have rights to it because it's monetarily yours, but you're still chayiv to give it back as like a mitzvah. That's a dritzvah sin, right? Right? It just on like the contrast, though, right? The Chinuch says, no, a different reason why he disagrees with this idea, which is Bezdin Yordan Lechse Amal V'motzi Menu Kimbo Big Zeos V'chabalos, because it's like Gezo, right? So now we have three approaches here, or four approaches even. One approach is to say it's tzedakah and you can't take it back ever, right? Then you have the opposite, which is no, like the Chinuch is saying, it's gezel, and of course you have to, Bezdin will take it away from you because it's just like gezel, right? It's not your money. Then the Chazon Ish says, it's not your money, but not because it's gezel, but because the Torah told you you're not allowed to do it, and therefore you have no monetary right to it.
In that case, I'm not sure about this, but could you make a case that if it isn't gezel, but you don't have the right to it, it's not a given that the original debtor, I always get them mixed up, I always have trouble with it. I decided to go for creditor because I didn't know how to pronounce the other one, so could you, if it was gezel and the other person has the right to it and you don't, if it's not gezel but you still don't have a right to it, could you make the case that the debtor doesn't necessarily have the right to it either? Like, it is illegitimately acquired money, so it's not yours, but that it doesn't necessarily follow automatically that it does belong to the other person. Is that, could you make that case? I'm not sure who it would belong to them, like based on someone, but it just seems like it's like with gezel, it's like two sides of the same coin, and it's like they go together automatically. And I'm just curious about whether there could be some sort of interesting like liminal status where it's not yours and it's not theirs.
I think you definitely could. And I think that helps us a lot, could help us a lot with this weirdness, which is on one hand, you have to give it back. And if you take like the monetary approach, then you have to give it back because you don't have monetary rights to it. He has monetary rights to it. On the other hand, once the Malve dies, his Yorshim don't need to give it back anymore. Right? So you do have this weird liminal situation. So the way the Ritva kind of dealt with that is very similar. Although what he basically says is, you know why you have to give it back? It's not that you don't own it. You do own it, but you have a mitzvah to give it back, right? So then financially it belongs to the Malveh because financially, Ribbis is yours, right? The bank lends you, gives you a loan. You take out a mortgage. You have to make your interest payments. However, right, like that's like Choshen Mishpat's perspective. But if we go to like Yoredeya's perspective, Yoredeya says you have a mitzvah to return it. Right, but once he dies, his kids don't have a mitzvah to return it.
Right.
So you kind of have.
Sorry.
No, go for it.
It's interesting to me that you would separate that sort of like, I guess I would call it like civil law and religious law, and have them sort of like operating parallel to each other and not like as the same thing. Just because of, I'm just thinking now about like Chametz Shavar Alav Pesach, and how you know how there's that whole thing about like, you don't own. You like on Pesach, I can't remember what the nafkamina of this is. It's like that you can't do bittul on Pesach, maybe, but like,
yes,
on Pesach, you don't own the chametz because ownership means having the capacity to have hana or sell it. And on Pesach, you can't do that. So ownership is meaningless, right? That's a case where like the religious law creates the reality of how you understand the like property ownership kind of thing. So I'm like intrigued by the difference there where like, whether those things get separated or whether they're like they define each other, if that makes sense.
Right. So I think they do definitely affect each other.
Define each other is not the same thing.
Right. Exactly. So I think your point is exactly, I think, what the Chazon Ish is saying, which is the Chazon Ish is like, does this like double take? Is like, what? No way. Right. E.F. Shalomar Kane. So it's funny because the Chazon Ish is like an Achron who's from like 50 years ago. Right. And he's bashing the Ritva. Right, he's saying the Ritva says this, and you E.F. Shalom Arkin, you can't say something like that. It's like, well, the Ritva just said it, you know, you just quoted him. I'm just like, definitely E.F. Shalom Arkin. I was listening and share with Rilichenstein, and Rilichenstein like said something, and then some guy in the call like raised his hand. He said, Harav Hayitachen, you know, like, but Rebbe, like, do you really think that makes sense? Like, can you really say something like that? And like Rilichenstein just like looked at him and he's like, Ken, I just said it. You know? They're just sort of like, wait, you can't say that. Like, but I just did. So the Ritva definitely said it, but the Chazon Ish says, you can't say that. E.F. Shalom Arkin, Devadai Ein HaRibis Chashiv Chov, Derachmana Afkirei, Ve'ein HaLove Chayiv Klom, Ve'ein Chov Davar. He says, no, of course the Love can't owe the Malve the Ribis, right? Because God said you're not allowed to take Ribis. Right, so you don't owe him the money because God said that you're not allowed to take ribbis. Right, so the Chazon Ish is kind of saying like, no, you can't have that those like tzvei dinim. You can't have those like two areas working in parallel, right? And yeah, if you were trying to use it for kiddushin, it wouldn't work because it's just not yours. But the Ritva definitely thinks you could split them. You could have that liminal space in between. I even think you could kind of make this argument that monetarily the rights belong to the Loveh, but the Malveh has possession. I think I have Tosos here. One second. Do I have Tosos here? Maybe not. Okay, I'll say Tosos outside and then we'll see it. And then we'll see it inside. Tosos has this other option. You know, let's just say it. Yeah, you know, let me see if I can find it. Can I find the Ritva? Oh, yeah, here, okay. The Ritva, the Torah, Tosos has this very interesting idea. Tosos is very, like, in favor of saying it's a monetary thing, right? He seems very convinced of that. So he says, wait a second, so then why do Yorshim not need to give it back? So he comes up with something very clever. Im tomar hechi medaktik minak de kirshus lo kechdam. Yafilu lav kirshus lo kechdam. As you have to know why. What by ribes kiva did be dat natan lo let nehu gabe betorat gzela ele betorat halva'a velachein ein chayavin lachzir de milva pe ein a gove min a yarshin. Yishmak says the Tos says something very clever, and it's exactly this kind of liminal space that you're asking about, which is what does it mean for it to be something that I don't have monetary rights for, but you don't have it either, right? And Tosis's answer is, what happens when you give something to somebody else where they don't have, it's not like you're repaying them, you don't owe them the money, but you're giving them this money for them to use, you're not giving it to them as a gift either. So what is that? You're giving your money into somebody else's rishus, and they monetarily owe you that money still. So, oh, that's a halva, right? The love, right, just lent the ribis back to the malva, essentially. Because the malva has no right to it, because it would be gazel, right? Because he doesn't have right to it. The malva just gave him that, the love just gave him extra money. Right, if someone overpays you or something, so you owe them that money back, right? But you don't need to give those exact coins back. You just owe them money now. So essentially, it's a halva, right? The monetary rights remain with the love, right? But the actual money is in possession of the malve, and that's a halva, or it's the same thing as a halva. Now, Tosos uses this, goes a step further, and says, well, there's this wacky din that a milva al peh, a verbal loan, is not incumbent on yorshin. Okay? The estate of the deceased does not have to repay verbal loans. It only has to pay like a halva that's written down in a shtar. Then Tosos says, oh, wait a second. This Gemara here, though, wants to say that like rishus yorshin is actually like a rishus lokeach. And he says, he says, oh, maybe though you could argue that it's like a nesina betos because the malva thinks he needs to do it, but he, you know, so it's like it was a mistake that he gave it over, and therefore it's not really like a milve. Fine. So Tosa says, like, well, maybe you could still consider it like gazel, right? But Tosas is basically saying, like, it's gazel in the sense that he doesn't have monetary right, but maybe it's actually just kind of like in this liminal space where he gave it to him and he has to give it back. But in the interim, it's kind of like both of theirs and neither of theirs, and it's like essentially halva. Yeah, Tila.
Until you said that summary, it sounded to me like a Tosas would agree with the sheet of the writ that you can do kiddushin. Like, if yours enough to be able to use it, if it's something that you borrowed, no?
If you something that you as a halva, as a loan, yeah, because milve lo tzanin. Now, so the actual money would be, at least according to this line in Tosfos, would be yours. You would have to pay back, but the actual coins you're allowed to use, and then you could actually use it for kiddushin.
Right, it's yours. You're just not supposed to keep it.
Right, or it's yours, but you have to pay back. Okay, so let's go back. That's why I've skipped a couple of important nafkaminas.
Wait, but Tosfot would still have the Yorshin payback, though?
Tosfot would not have the Yorshin payback. It's clear the Yorshin don't pay back. The question is why. So Tosfot says, yeah, so there are a few different options, right? One option is that it's a tzedakah thing, and the only reason why you have to pay back is like a special mitzvah, and the Yorshin don't have the mitzvah. Tosfot is basically saying, like, no, the Yorshin are considered like a separate rishus, and therefore, you know, for anything that's not like an absolute monetary lien on the estate, you know, yorshim are generally not on the hook for. But it's like a financial, the answer is like a financial footnote, you know, like a quirk of like financial law, not something to do with ribbis, really. And that's still Tosfos's answer. Tosfos, the Hemshech of Tosfos, is trying to like deal with the line of the Gemara. The Gemara is like, oh, like Yorshim are like really like a separate Rishus from the original. The estate is kind of like distinct from like the deceased. And therefore it's almost like there was like the money was transferred to a new account. And then It adds all these sorts of like nafuminas. But for Tosos, the answer is like a financial, it's like a prat in Choshen Mishpat. It's not like a ribbis thing. Right. So another nafkamina of this is, can you be mochel? Now this is interesting. This is part of this middle state of the Ritva, right? Because if it's tzedakah, so, or whatever, like if it's tzedakah, so then who's really is it aimed to? Who told you you can't take ribbis? Right? Whose rights, kibiyachol, are you violating? So if it's like a yidin and yoredeya, right? Das mori neru, kidas agon. The Rambam says that you can be mochel. And the Rambam explicitly says the reason why, right, is because you can be mochel just like you can be mochel gezel. If someone robs you, right, you can forgive his debt. And you can say, you know what, you don't need to give it back. Just do tshuva, you know. Or like, I don't know, some guy robs money from you and it turns out his name is Jean Valjean and he's mamish, his daughter, his wife's, you know, child is starving and you're moichel him. And you say, you know what? Have a nice life. You know, I'm moichel you, I understand. It's fine. Don't pay me back, right? He doesn't need to pay back, right? However, says the Ritva, and that's what the Rambam says about Ribbis also, same thing. Says the Ritva, v'das mori neru, k'das agonim, v'tam advarim, that you can't be moichel. The tviya Ribbis lo havia kishar tviyos. Begets of ona the coyote man the isle al chavre shibud mamon el chiv hu shechayv akasev lahachzir iser shabala avahachal l'shamayim hu chayv v'kivat shekein lo toil lo v'chilas chaveiro v'chinika. Who do you owe it to? God, says the Ritva. Right, God gave you a mitzvah. He said you're supposed to do X Y Z. You're not doing X Y Z. God said, well, now do it. Right. It's like when your kid doesn't listen to you and like they, you know, they take the cookies out of the cookie jar. You don't say, well, now that you took it out of the cookie jar, like go eat it, you know? You're like, no, now I have to go put it back. And if not, it's like, okay, now put it in a separate bag because you touched it already. But like, you can't eat it. Like, you know, I told you not to take the cookie from the cookie jar. Now you can't eat it, right? So says the Ritva, the other person can't be mochel, right? God told you not to do this. Then he said, if you do it, you got to pay it back. And it has nothing to do with the other person, really, right? Because this is your day, then this is between you and God. So God's the one who has to be mocha, right?
But which of the shitot that we've seen so far can accommodate and not being about the other person? They both seem quite interpersonal.
Tzedakah is the goal is about the other person, right? But your responsibility, but let's say your chiyuv is ben adam l'makom, right?
Sure, but the languages that we've seen, like the imperatives, are worded in terms of your, like...
It's imperative from God to you. God's telling you you need to do X, Y, Z. The reason why is because of his well-being, let's say, right? But ultimately, God told you don't take ribbis because I'm telling you you need to give tzedakah, right?
So, okay, I'm not as familiar with the sugya of Zela at large, but it's also like, you know, Isra directed to Zela. So why do we say that something like to be mocha or not something like God instructed?
Because when you have to pay back Gzela, you're not paying back Gzela because you've affronted God. You're paying back Gzela because you took this person's money, right? And he has a monetary right to be for you to pay him back. So, right? That's something that you owe him. That's not something you owe God.
Maybe I'm missing something because like the idea that God says when you steal, you give it back, and the idea that God says when you have a poor person, let him live with you, they sound to be on rather equal footing, at least like from a deraisa. Like
they're both deraisa in a chanami, but where is the chiyuv rooted, right? The chiyuv of v'heshev esgzela shel gazal is a financial obligation, right? Is a chiyuv to pay back this other person, right? That person can waive your monetary obligation to him. You owe him money. He's mochel that chiyuv mamon. When it comes to ribbis, right? Hashem said, don't do something. You did it. He said, if you do it, then you got to undo it. The other person can't tell you that, oh, you know, I don't mind. Okay, it's great that you don't mind, right? You can't waive, right, a responsibility that I have, klapei shmayim. You can waive a monetary chiyuv to you. The chiyuv of gezel is that you have a right. You have a monetary chiyuv to pay him back. He can be mocha that monetary chiyuv, right? The ritva's chiddush here is that hacha l'shamayim hu chayiv. Right? You right. It's not that you have to pay him back because I took his money. I know I have to give him back his money, so I have a financial debt to him or a financial responsibility to him. Right? I took money which financially is totally mine. Right? But since God told me not to do it, now God told me that I have to undo my bad action. You can't tell me, oh no, you know that sin that you did is fine. You can keep sinning, it's okay, right? God said, don't do X sin X. You did it. Now he's telling you, okay, you did it. Now go undo it, right? The other person might be the toeles of the mitzvah, right? But like the responsibility or the financial, there's no like financial relationship between them, or which he could be mocha, right? Hejman's Gdash Gazal is based on the fact that you owe this person money. So he could be mocha lechov. Now you're right, there's a very interesting question, Legabe Vehejman's Gzela, which is when he does that, does he really have to, is his mechila working as ki'ilu hitkabalti? Is it working as like a? He's saying like, look, I machshev it as if you gave me the money, so it actually is as if you gave him the money, right? So you're like mekayim v'heshev zegzela, or is it no? He could just be mochem. It could be that he actually has to basically say like kiilu hiskabalti, like I'm machshev it as if you gave it to me, because otherwise you fulfill your like your chiyav. That's an interesting question, right? But either way, because it's rooted in a financial obligation to him, so then, okay, it's based on that financial obligation. So you can be mocha that financial obligation. But in this case, as Ritvi can't. Okay. I kind of want to do this. I kind of also want to finish because I feel like Wednesday is just not going to happen. There's a really cool kliyakar that kind of offers like an idea that might really be what's going on behind this like middle option of it's kind of financial, but it's not really about the other person, which is exactly what Tila's asking. And after I just did that defense of the Ritva, you could argue what Tila's arguing, which is, are we really going to say that it's about tzedakah, but we don't really care about it, about giving him back the money? It's just about between you and God and like making sure that you don't keep the money. So the Kli Yakar actually on Torah has this fascinating idea. Like what ikar tam isra haribis, lefishu mesiras midas habitachon mina adam, ki kol ba maso matan in of nosos al Hashem. It's actually not about you and this other person. It's not about you and Gezel. It's about your relationship to God. Why? Because every person who works, right, relies on God for their parnasa, right, that they should be successful. Right? Once you're rich and you're just living off the interest of your assets, right? That's it. Right? God's out of the picture. Right? And he says what? Why are you allowed to take ribbis from a guy? Isn't that also going to be meisir your lave from Hashem? And he says, no, because you're totally worried that the guy is never going to pay you back. Right? Which is also true, just like Bismano. In the Middle Ages, lots of Jews were moneylenders, and the state would like constantly like be mafkia all like debts owed to Jews. So you never really knew if you're going to ever get paid back, right? And the courts wouldn't always enforce the collect on the debts and stuff like that. But otherwise, if you're just a moneylender to Jews, so you're just living off your interests, you don't have no, right? Alkein nismach mitzuzu l'parshas shmita givam tam shmita hu kedei shenasim bitchoneinu b'Hashem. Now, this kind of like in-between state could possibly be an explanation of the Ritva, which I think would answer Tila's uncomfortableness, right? Because if it's a chiv tzedakah, so then, okay, if it's all about the person. So if it's about the person, first of all, if it's a business deal, why should it be aser? If the guy's rich, why should it be aser? And number two is, if the guy wants to be mochel, it's about him. It's been out of a chavero, basically. So why can't he be mochel, right? So we explain that. I think our explanation for that is really quite good. But and if it's gezel, so it's gezel, right? So let's say why don't the yorshim have to give it back? But if it's this idea about like your relationship to God, right, and you're like emunah and bitachon b'Hashem, so it actually works out very nicely. It's universal. It's even if the guy wants to build an apartment building. Because the problem is just that, like, you're making money without having to actually do anything, right? So you kind of just, like, this automatic, you know, your life takes care of itself without any work and without any dependence on God. And also why the guy can't be mochel, because it's not at all about him, right? It's really about your relationship with God. So that is, like, a very cool, it's not a mainstream, it's not definitely not, like, the main approach to the sugya, but it has to be a fascinating, like, middle position, right? It's not just being nice, and it's not like straight out gezel, but it's about like this relationship between you and God. But it's definitely a side idea, but it is cool. Okay, just super gishmak. The Meiri says, well, actually, I think both of these things are true, right? Kol atma shel ribis mechila hi, or mechila zu hi she'asra Torah. Is actually what the Torah asserted is the mechila, even the guy's mochel, right? Gedol mechabrim kasvu shmeachar sha'alove yodeh sheish lo lito mimenu imrat alimchol mochel kederach ha'nigzal v'yachol limchol. Says, can you be mochel? Can you not be mochel? Says, well, on the one hand, and the whole point is that it's ribbis is always mechila because the guy always agrees to it. Says, yerali mikomakom ein ha'mechila mo'elas elo le'inyan ha'din she'ein yotze b'dayanin avalinyan iser lo nafka b'mechila. This is actually, there are two different dinim in ribbis. There's the din, there's like the choshen mishpa part, and then there's the iser, the yoredea part. So the guy can be mochel on the din, right? And this kind of answers, again, I think, is another answer to Tila's question, which is, well, actually, there are two separate isurim, right? There's the monetary part, which the guy can be mochel on, and then there's the iser, the hector part, which you can't be mochel on. So we won't collect it in Bezdin anymore because you were mochel the choshen mishpa part, the monetary part, but like the iser part is still there. The ben adam b'chaviro is still there. Okay? And that actually could explain something very cool, which is there are two lavin in ribbis, neshech and tarbis. So the Gemara says that, oh, there's no case where you're doing one without the other. So Tosos and the Rambam say, yeah, they're really the same thing. There's no difference. The Torah just wants you to know it's really awesome. But the Bahag counts them as two separate lavin. Right, and the Gur Aryeh explains, right, that one is that he's no sheikh es chavero neshech, and which is like you're biting your friend, and the other is tarbis, right, that you're making the money increase, right, and I think that's exactly these two tzadim. Akdafka here, it's the two tzadim, but like shifted one over of the kliyakar, this idea that you're being marbe your mamon, right, without working for it, is tarbis. And neshech is the fact that you're hurting your friend, right? You're taking ribbis from this poor guy who really needs tzedakah. That's neshech, right? It's the hurting of the other person. Or you could actually argue that that's like gezel, because you're hurting the other person. But it's between you and your friend that you're hurting the other person. And tarbis is klape pnim. It's like Kliyakar's idea that you're being marbe your mamon without working for it. Okay. I think we are. Yeah. Hi.
I realize it's a bit of a tangent. I don't know if it's a tangent, but it's okay.
Sure. Go for it. We'll try. If it's too much of a tangent, I'll.
Okay. I'm just intrigued if there's any, like, I don't know how to characterize it, but I feel like this is very, like, typical of, like, I want to say, like, hard-nosed, yeshivish, litmish kind of philosophy. But does anyone, like, this was kind of where I thought the Kliyakar was going, and then it didn't. Does anyone make some sort of case about how, like, you know, all Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is really for just Bein Adam L'Makom, and, like, kind of erase that distinction of just what you owe other people, and say things like, you know, is because of God, and not stealing is because of God, and not murdering is because of God, and none of it has to do with other people, I feel like that's like an idea that I have heard floating around, maybe a little controversially, but I'm curious about, I guess it's just a more general question, and I guess what I'm asking is whether there's anyone general in this kind of, in this particular conversation.
Sorry, can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yeah, sure.
Can you just clarify if we're continuing on Wednesday and what you'd like us to prepare for then? Because then I'm going to need to head out.
Yeah. Are you in game for, are you able to do Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just continue on. We'll continue on this. 1 second. Let's decide where does that, or should we just try to, try to, you know what? 1 second. What do we have left? No, maybe I think we'll just, I think we'll end here. We'll just sum up, and then I don't think we won't do Wednesday, just because I might just, you know, be cleaning my kitchen on Wednesday. I might be crazy. So maybe better not to tempt fate with continuing. So yeah, so let's just finish up, and then I'll get back to Kaya's question. So just sum up. So we have two basic mdot. We have isergazo, right? That really is some sort of financial, either actual theft or like a financial misdemeanor, right? Which could split us in terms of, let's say, a guy. If you think it's actual theft, it would be us or even take roads from a guy, and that's a day on the Gemara. If you think it's more of like, it's like a financial misdemeanor based on this heightened appreciation of others' rights, so then like on the baseline DNA mamonis that apply, let's say also to B'nai Noach, that wouldn't necessarily be present, right? It's kind of like a tier two added level of financial law. But it's a financial law. It's a financial misdemeanor, even though it's not, let's say, theft, right? On the chiyuv tzedakah side, right? No, it's just your chayv to do tzedakah. Your chayv to mechayev this person. When it comes to a momar, right? If it's gazel, it's aser, says the Yireim, says the Torah. No, it's tzedakah, and therefore it's mutter. Is it yosei b'dayanim? Then either yes, because it's actually gazel, so of course it comes out, if dayanim could take it out of your hands, or no, it's yosei b'dayanim, but it's a special new mitzvah. The Ramban actually counts it as a separate mitzvah to return gezel, right? Mitzvah yudzayin that the Ramban forgot. It's a whole separate mitzvah because, right? It just tzedakah, don't take ribis. Special mitzvah. If you did take it, give it back. And the Ritva says it's not even a chiyuv to the other person. It's a chiyuv klapishmaya. Mechila, if it's like gezel, would work because it's a financial chiyuv. Right, if it's a chiyuv tzedakah, then either there's no mechila because it's a chiyuv l'shamayim, says the Ritva, or says the Meiri. Well, actually, there are two levels. There's a mamonis level which you can be mochel, but the iser level you can't. And finally, how you explain the fact that yorshim don't need to give it back, according to the side that's tzedakah? Well, it's just a separate mitzvah that's only incumbent on the ma'alveh and not on the yorshim. They're just new people, so they don't have the special mitzvah. Right? If it's a monetary din, you have to explain how it's a milvah al peh, and for like complicated financial reasons, the financial obligation doesn't hold over. Okay, shakach. Yeah, I'm gonna stop here.
I kind of decided I don't like my question after all.
Okay, I mean, this is a question, but so we'll still stop here, and maybe if we have